My name is Paul Provenzano. I was the head of product development for Fox Interactive from its founding in 1995 until around 2000. My first interaction with Croc was probably late 95. One of the great things about Argonaut and of Jez in general, there was always something fascinating he wanted to show you. He had new technology, something really cool. So you'd go there and he'd say, look at this, listen to this, it's 3D sound, or something amazing. It's the nature of Jez, his curiosity, his pursuit of everything. So I was in there and I was taken to a Sega Saturn dev system, and on it there was a blocky character, and he was running around free, but also going through some tunnels, I don't know what they were, wasn't a lot of detail. But the goal was to get it on PlayStation. There was just a shortage of PlayStation dev systems in the office, apparently. And if you think back to that time, seeing that was amazing. We just hadn't seen that before. And obviously, I looked at that and said, okay, this is something new. You've got to get a game designer something connected to this and pitch it to us. Because this is cool. Jez indicated even back then that this was going to be based on an idea they want to hold on to, an original IP, which, understandably so, it did present some challenges. For obvious reasons, the reason for a Fox Interactive was to take advantage of the various Fox properties throughout that universe, whether it's the films or TV or whatever. They had book publishing, a whole bunch of things. And we were pretty busy doing that. You got Aliens, you got Simpsons, you got X-Files, you have movies that are coming out. That's our mission. But the other part of our mission was, sort of understated, was, okay, you've got all these properties, and you take them through the various iterations of media. Is it possible to take something the other way? And so that was the intriguing kind of going forward idea. And it looked like we were going to do pretty well with some of these licenses, which actually weren't licenses, were Fox properties. And maybe we had the ammunition to do that. But it didn't happen immediately. We signed on officially, I believe, almost a year later. And by that time, I forget whether it was a show in the UK or a show in the US like E3, Jez had proposed Croc formally. Now, I'd seen Croc Advance, but this was Croc as a document, as a game design. And we went forward with it. I had hired a producer fresh from the UK, a guy named David Stalker. David had come over to Los Angeles and was sitting in my office, and he said, okay, well, what am I doing? And he said, you're getting on a plane, you're going over to Argonaut, and you're going to immerse yourself in this game, which he did. The thing about Croc and the thing about its development, normally in a development, if you're a publisher and you have an existing property, that means you're babysitting that property. That means you're watching out that it looks like the property it came from, that it looks like Bart Simpson, that it is true to the world that it came from. And a lot of your time is doing that, and also worrying about assets and voice and music and things that are all true to the original property. Obviously, with Kroc, that wasn't the case. We became more of a sounding board. David became an ally. And by that time, by the time we were signed, we had a rather robust testing system. We had a lot of people in place, so we became a testing center. Also, you know, the unique nature of this team, the talents of the people, the tools they developed, whatever, meant that in my recollection, compared to a lot of other projects, this was not coming to us with $1 million. This was not coming to us with the typical problems that are part of the development process. Nobody was doing anything wrong. When you have bugs, you get bugs. But this stuff was coming to us because it was so well thought out, so planned. Their process, the tools they built that allowed them to build, just worked on a level that, you know, it wasn't typical of other projects. So when I say that this was totally the creation of Argonaut, there were a few intrusions. I'm neither here nor to defend, I'm here to acknowledge. There is, in the original manual for PlayStation, a description of the origins of Kroc. That document was the creation of our marketing department. We had been working with a writer's assistant for The Simpsons. He wasn't a writer, he was a writer assistant. Although many writer's assistants become a writer for a show, he was not at the time. He had done some work on another title we did called Virtual Springfield. And the marketing people got a hold of this guy. His name was Neil Alsup. His name still is Neil Alsup. And he wrote The Origins of Kroc. I never saw it, and Argonaut never saw it until they saw it in the manual, much to their surprise. I can't say it was true and in line with what was going on in the game. Okay, I can say that. It really wasn't true or in line with what was going on in the game. Late in the game, literally late in the game, it was pointed out that the levels didn't have names. And that it just sort of went from one level to another. And a lot of people comment about the sense of humor of the game and look at the titles of the levels, the titles, you know, how funny they were. Those were basically created overnight over at Argonaut. Said, oh, you want names? There's some names. There was one issue. It cropped up in the last few weeks, and I'm sure other people talk about it. Sony released an analog controller literally a couple of weeks before we were going to ship. And remember, back in those days, there were no patches. There were no downloading an update. When you finished a game, you were done. It was done. And also, the game world existed under a certain set of parameters. The most important part of it was Christmas. Most games made most of their income back then at Christmas, which meant you had to get in line for publishing, for manufacturing, from these hardware makers well in advance. If it was August and you were still worrying about, wonder when I'll get finished with the game, well, that's pretty much a guarantee you missed Christmas, which for some companies was a disaster. So understand, when somebody says, hey, we've got this new thing, it's not shipping with the regular PlayStation, but people will have it. Do you support it? Obviously, the decision was made to support it. And
Every effort was made. It was an admirable effort. I don't think anybody says, oh, this is exactly how we wanted to do it. But honestly, there weren't any good examples of how you were supposed to do it. They literally had handed it in our lap a couple of weeks before we were supposed to be done. Hats off to the Argonaut team. They did it. Now, the remaster of the game builds on decades of refinement of those kind of controls and creates something that's very acceptable to the modern player. But at the time, none of those rules existed. It was just basically, here it is, here's some documentation. And we still made our date. We still got out for Christmas. And again, it's that team at Argonaut that made it happen.
Did we realize we had something special? Yes, we realized we had something special. Did we have an uphill battle in getting that message out? Honestly, yes, we did. And this is more marketing and less development, but it was blatantly obvious. If you think about 3D platform games that were appearing all at once, and a lot of it developed all at once, so it's not like, we knew exactly what everybody else was doing. If you look at Mario and Nintendo, Nintendo launched with that on their hardware. If you look at Spyro or Crash Bandicoot, both of those were developed by companies that were eventually part of Sony. And Sony was also pushing a hardware platform. We were not. Their motivations and their ability to promote and market far exceeded our ability to do that. The PlayStation was initially launched, and that's with the big action games. That's where you're showing off the tech. And then you pivot to kids' games, to cute games. And that was that point that PlayStation was at. It was very important to have those. That's my opinion. Nintendo, that's what they did. That's Nintendo was known for those style of games. We still got a fair amount of attention. We still were able to find an audience. The game did really well. It exceeded our expectations. And honestly, that was the dedication, that was the creativity, that was the studio that allowed all of those things to flourish, to allow something so unique to be created. I think if Croc was your favorite game and you approach this remaster, I think a couple of things are going to happen. First of all, you remember your favorites, something you love. You don't remember the flaws. You remember what you loved about it. You don't remember Croc as being, oh, it had limitations on the hardware system. Oh, there was polygon tearing. You remember the game you loved. You don't remember Croc as a low poly character hopping around. You remember playing the box art. I think they will approach the remaster with nostalgia, but they'll also approach it as this is the game I remember. And they're going to be able to see the same control system, if they want to use, the keypad. But they're also going to see a modern camera and a modern control system that is the evolution of gaming since Croc. And so they're not going to remember the difference. They're going to remember the version they like to play. I think that the reception is going to be warmly welcomed
But I think a lot of people are going to look at it saying, this is the game I loved. What's the big deal? Except that they can play it on modern hardware, except that they'll be able to share it with friends who will look at it with modern eyes and go, yeah, it seems pretty cool. And speaking of those people, for someone that Croc wasn't their favorite game, but they look at it and say, okay, I like these kind of games. And they're going to remember there was a time when games were a lot more just fun. They had a sense of humor about themselves. They had some challenge to them, but they were playful. And whether it's the amazing music or the humor in the game or those sometimes challenging puzzles, I think they're going to look at Croc and they're going to say, this game delivers all those things. And it's going to deliver it in a way that's very acceptable to the modern player. So I think it's going to be well received in the same way it was well received the first go round.